is taken from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, and can be found on page 1170 of the Pew Bibles. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who called out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So do please stand for our second hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
And this morning's gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. I thought it was more than that. Verses 15 to 21 on page 1028. And so hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do sit down. Light dawns, it's because at 10:30 I'm preaching the same sermon, but it is a slightly different reading. I thought that looked different. So I had hoped that this would be pretty much a week off. That was my putative diary. It said, set the heating, that was a request from Caroline, and write a sermon, which could double up for both. And also, it should also have put in buy milk and pitta. That was the third thing I had to do this week. Not too bad at all. But then a complicated funeral came in for the beginning of January. So I met with, the father of the deceased. And then I spoke to the funeral director. And then I had to find a pianist. And emails and texts went backwards and forwards. And then on Friday morning, I came in to look around the church and just make sure everything was all right. And Caroline alerted me to the fact that there is a hole in that window over there. Quite a sizable little hole, but clearly made by a projectile such as a pellet or bullet. So I then spoke to Caroline, I spoke to the wardens, I spoke to the diocese. Diocese said, yes, you have to report to the police. So I spoke to the Koreans to say it wasn't some excitable child, was it? No. Then yesterday afternoon, two constables from the Metropolitan Police came round and took all the details. Well, I did have some time off. But it wasn't quite as much as I'd hoped, because life kept breaking in. So it is good that the message that we preached again and again over Christmas, and that came to me from that reading this morning as well, was that Jesus is for life. He is not just for Christmas. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And that means not just around the Christmas tree and as we sing carols, it means on those grey January mornings as well, and in that wonderful gap between Christmas and New Year too. And if you were here at any of our Christmas services, you would have heard this message. So Stu came to carols by candlelight and spoke about joy, joy that is with us even in the dark, difficult circumstances of life, how God is still with us to bring us joy. If you were at midnight or at 9 o'clock on Christmas morning, you would have heard me speaking about Jesus being God in our hands, God making himself weak and vulnerable and sharing in our pain and our suffering. If you were here on Christmas morning at the all-age service, you would have heard me talking about the fact that every time the kingdom breaks in, the king is here. That Jesus is the king who is with us and among us and working through us. And all of that is such a great message for December the 31st. Because as we look at the new year, and I wish my diary was as clear as that, we don't know what the 1st of January will bring. We do not know what will be in the newspaper on the 2nd of January. We do not know what January will bring, let alone what July will bring, or December next year. We don't know at all. And some of us may be quite excited about that. Jeremy Corbyn is, to judge from his New Year message. Some of us might be quite apprehensive about that. Theresa May's advisors, for example. We just don't know our own circumstances. But the good news is that God does, and God is with us. And so the best advice that we can possibly give each other this morning is that advice that King George VI gave to his people at his Christmas Day broadcast in 1939, the start of the war, still the phony war, but a time of uncertainty and fear, and a well-known poem by Minnie Haskins. This is a small part of it. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." That is what we should be encouraging one another to do today. To put our hand into God's hand. Because God knows the future. God knows January and December. And we can trust him to see us safely through. I want to give you an illustration that came to me yesterday. And I found very helpful. Our darling daughter, Pippa, gave us as an Advent present a card string with the numbers 1 to 24 on, little rectangles of card. And on the back of each one was a photograph from her phone. Now, she has over the years taken many pictures of us, and many of them we've never seen because she doesn't post them on Facebook or share them. You know, these days, you never print your photographs out and put them in an album. So they just sit on her phone from year to year and get replaced as phone gets replaced. And so she made us this wonderful advent calendar of 24 pictures of us with her or us together or her and one of us. And each day we turned a fresh one over and we were very good. We didn't peek. And we really looked forward to it. And what was lovely about it is some were familiar. Went, "Oh, yes, yeah, I remember that one. Do you remember? Yeah, we were down at St. David's or in America or whatever, and you remembered the holiday that went with it." Or some of them, I thought, "When did you take that? I don't remember that one at all." Me biting the head off a jelly bean. "Where was that?" A jelly baby, rather. "Where was that?" And she said, "Oh, Dad, have you forgot already?" You know, and so there were some things that were old that we were reminded of and some things that were new. And what I want to suggest to you is that is a wonderful way of seeing the new year. That each new day is a surprise to us, but it's not to God. And each new day, we can say, "Lord, what have you got for me today? Lord, is it something familiar, something to remind me of about yourself, about me, about the world? What have you got for me today? Is it something brand new, something I've never seen before?" And that's how I would love us to look forward to this new year, this new term in the church and the life of the church, because we believe in a God who speaks. And so God can speak new things to us in our prayer times. God can speak new things to us as we read the Bible. God can speak new things to us as we come to church. God can speak new things to us as we go to our small groups, as we meet with one another. God is in the business of speaking new things. And some of them remind us of old things. Oh, yeah, of course, yes, that's great truth. Good to be reminded of that. And some of us are brand new things. Oh, yeah, I never thought of that before. That's really interesting, really helpful. And what we do as a preaching team is we try and provide you with something that's helpful Sunday by Sunday to help you relearn those truths and discover new ones. So it doesn't say on our term card, which there are piles on the back table and the table outside, but at 9 o'clock we have a sermon series. The sermon series is on the Lord's Prayer. It's through, if I remember rightly, I think it's February and March, 6 weeks, looking at different phrases of the Lord's Prayer. We say it week by week, but how often does it just trip off the tongue without us reflecting what we are saying? So that's part of our 9 o'clock services. At 10:30, as you can see, we're working through Romans 12 to 15, but I especially wanted to draw your attention to the 6:30 series, because what we're doing in that is we are trying to provide with practical ways of hearing from God afresh. So it's not a particular Bible passage, but it's looking at issues like the fact that we have different personalities, and that means that we pray in different ways, read the Bible in different ways. And that's good. Seeing the big picture of the whole of the Bible and seeing things in their context, helping each other, and the importance of relationships, praying without pretending, the importance of honesty in prayer, and the possibility of using writing in our prayers as well. Renewing our daily times with God in developing daily devotion. Leslie's going to lead us in the way that she does so well of imaginatively entering into the Bible story, and then we'll think about praying in the Spirit, about spiritual warfare, and about following Jesus in a cross-shaped life. All that is how to grow in faith. And I know that some of you will never come at 6:30 on a Sunday evening. It just doesn't suit your lifestyle, and it's dark and horrible. But with the wonders of technology, you will soon be able to listen to those sermons on the web, as long as they're recorded right. We could actually have our website up and running now, the new one that's been developed, but it's still got a load of mistakes in it that we're just tidying up and sorting out. And so we'd rather wait another week or two and get it right rather than have it go out and then correct it day by day. So it's very nearly there. But certainly, by the end of the month, there will be a website with those sermons coming on week by week. I want to encourage you to take the opportunity that is being offered by different people to help us to see each day new and grow in our faith, and to go on discovering fresh things from God. Because God speaks. That's what we believe, that God has so much new to say to us this new year. And that's my experience too. So as I sat down with Luke chapter 2, my word, isn't that a familiar passage? You know, shepherds glorified, praising God. Yeah, they went back. And yeah, Mary pondered these things. Yeah, how many times have we heard that read? How many times have we heard sermons on that? But as I was sitting with it this week, you know, God was speaking and saying, have you thought of that? Oh, no, that's good. So there's the familiar passage. And I want to pick out the three main characters of the story. Sorry, I'm not going to pick out. The fourth one is God. He's in all of them. So the shepherds and Mary and the people who heard the shepherds. So let's look at Mary first. I think we can learn from Mary afresh today. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And what that made me reflect for myself, and I think probably it's true of all of us, is do I make space for pondering? Because life is so busy. And particularly in our society, we want instant. We want new. I've done that. I've got that. What's the next thing? But actually what Mary did was, in all the next things, say, well, I still haven't got to the bottom of that. I want to go on thinking about what those guys who turned up, those wise men who turned up, what was all that about? You know, what Simeon said to me in the temple. That was harsh. We'll come on to that in a week or two, I expect. But what was all that about? And what we need to do, it's a discipline. It's a discipline to ponder. Because what we first need to do is we need to recall. We need to look back and think, concentratedly, deliberately think, that's what I want to think about. And then we need to reflect. We need to ruminate and mull over. And then we need to respond and make something of that. But I wonder, in your life, do you make space to ponder? In your daily life, do you make moments, minutes, when you can just stop and hang on a minute, let me just stop and think about that. In our church life, we have the opportunity of St. Paul's Night, which is an evening of pondering, really. There are some prayer stations around the church, places where we can sit and read or write or sometimes eat or sometimes smell or reflect and just think. And this time particularly, it's looking back over the past year and looking ahead to the new. And it's the last one we'll have this half year because of other events that are going on in the life of the church. So it'll only be this one until June at the earliest. Space to ponder. Thank you, Mary, for giving me that reminder. It's good to make space to ponder. And in our society, there's too little of it. And then there are the shepherds. The shepherds remind me of the place for thankfulness. And this is something I know I've preached about before, and I know I'll preach about again, because I think it's so important. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. Their life would never be the same again. And they wanted to say, thank you, God. Thank you so much. And thankfulness is such a helpful thing to build into our lives. And that's true in prayer. It's true in worship. Worship reminds us of what God has done and who God is. And if we think about what we're singing, so many of the songs reminds us of his love, his goodness, his greatness, his kindness. And some of us like music in the background when we do things, and some of us don't. Heather is a person who does like music in the background. I am a person who does not. Except washing up. That's about the only thing that I'll have music in the background. But if you like music in the background, what about having some Christian music? Some hymns, if you prefer those, or worship, or just instrumental music to lift your spirits and help you think of God. In your prayers, it's a wonderful thing at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day to say, thank you, God. And just stop from it before, because there's, actually, Lord, I want to ask you about this and I need your help in that. And I've got to think about that. But hang on, before I get to that, just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this new day. Thank you for yesterday. And the fact that people generally listen to my sermon pretty much all the way through. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my daughter. Thank you for my church. Oh, thank you for so many things. And at the end of every day, we've always got something to be thankful for getting through that day, if that was all it was. But we've always got so much to thank God for. And even on a bad day, we are still his children. He still loves us. Jesus still came into our world to show us the depths of that love and promise that he is with us and he will never abandon us. And his Holy Spirit lives within us. All those things are true even at the end of the worst day of our life. There is always good to be thankful. And scientists have shown that it actually makes us feel happier. That if you have no belief in God whatsoever, but you just develop a discipline of thankfulness, you will be a happier and healthier person. As Christians, we know that if we are thankful, it will increase our faith in God, because we remember how good he is, and it helps us to be bolder when we come in prayer to him with new requests and concerns and people that are on our hearts. So thankfulness, that's a great thing to say thank you for the shepherds and reminding me of thankfulness. And finally, don't you think it's remarkable and easy to miss and pass over? All who heard what the shepherds said were amazed at what they told them. They were all amazed. They said, wow, that's incredible. And again and again, I hear that people are amazed and thrilled and blessed when someone shares good news with them. And as Christians, we have so much good news to share. Not about arguing, not about preaching, but just sharing our good news, sharing our stories of what we have heard God has done. That's what the shepherds did. The shepherds didn't, if you like, do anything in the Christmas story. You know, they didn't produce the baby Jesus. They just went and said, well, do you know what we saw? It's amazing. Do you know what we heard? It was amazing. And people went, wow. And so, over the course of the year, You know, when we hear good stories, when we hear good things that God has done, do you know, I went to the, someone said to me last Sunday, I went to the crib service for the first time. The church was packed when children, it was amazing. I've never seen the church that full. Well, I was there, so it's no great shakes telling me, but what about telling one of your work colleagues? In a natural way, you know, not when they say, you know, what did you do for Christmas? Rather than, can I tell you about the Lord Jesus? So I think if we just have the courage to share our story, to share what we have seen and heard, people will say, wow, that's amazing. Some of them might not say anything, but they'll think, wow, that's amazing. Because all the stories in the media are overwhelmingly bad news. Because bad news sells newspapers. And there was once a short-lived paper that tried to print good news. It didn't last very long. Because our brains are wired to be more interested in bad news. But personally, we get very depressed by it. The policeman who came yesterday was saying to me, the thing is, you automatically think the worst of an attack on your church because everything in the media around you is about bad news. Actually, this is pretty rare and, to be honest, unlikely to happen again. Oh, yeah, thank you. It's true that we are overwhelmingly surrounded by bad news. If we are people who share good news, people will generally, often, I'm not guaranteeing it, don't come back and complain next week when your colleague at work is rude to you, but generally, people will respond well if we share good news in a positive and enthusiastic way. So we come to a new year. We come to a new term in the life of the church. God sets before us a smorgasbord, you know, one of those great buffets where there's all sorts of different things on there. In the Bible, in our prayer times, in church, in our friends, in our small groups. A feast of good things. That's how I want us to look forward to 2018. To God's great banquet set out before us. And it's to us to discover what new things he has to share with us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God who speaks. You speak to us afresh. If our ear is attuned to you day by day and week by week, help us this year to hear more of you. Help us to attune our ears to your voice. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us all to make time to ponder and reflect. Help us all to develop that gift of thankfulness. Because we all want to be happier people. And give us the courage to, the boldness, to share good news when we hear it, to be a blessing to others that way. And may our church be a place of life and joy and celebration of your goodness, day by day and week by week. Amen.